Does music give strength to the heart? No. Music does not give strength to the heart, brothers and sisters. It's like junk food. What does it do? Here is the thing. That music occupies the space. Here's your heart. It fills your heart. It does. It fills it. It gives you the feeling. It gives the appearance of being something that is nutritious. You feel happy for a bit. While you're listening to music, you feel happy. As long as you're plugged into it, you feel happy. But when it's gone, when you're alone, your iPod is broken, right? Then what? So then you realize how empty your heart is. Then you realize how weak your heart is. Then you realize that really empty hearts, that's what it is. Music is just there to fill, and it's the same with movies. It's the same thing. It's the same with recreational sex. It's just a way to fill the empty heart. A way to fill the empty heart. Let me fill it, because it can't be empty. I need something to distract me. Marijuana, acid, coke, heroin, alcohol, the same thing. What does it all do? It's filling the empty heart. But all of this stuff damages the heart. It's not good for the heart. It doesn't give strength to the heart. It doesn't really bring us true peace and happiness. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness, and we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. But whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, no one can guide. And I testify that Allah alone is worthy of worship. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is the servant of Allah and his final messenger. The title of the lecture that I've been asked to deliver today is Crazy Lives, Empty Hearts. Or is it? Is it empty? Is it Crazy Hearts or Empty Lives? It can't be either. Yusuf said it can be either. The title could be either. But in fact, when I was looking at the title, mashallah, nice title. I think we all know what the title is trying to say. But let's look at the nature of the heart, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at the nature of the heart. When we talk about the heart in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, that there is a piece of flesh. When this piece of flesh is sound, the whole body is sound. When it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And that is the heart. It is this heart, my brothers and sisters, the heart that is linked to our desires, and the heart that is linked to our understanding, what we understand, how we understand. So sometimes the concept of heart and mind, what is the mind, what is the heart, they're often something that is interchangeable. So it is the condition of our hearts that is very, very important. And something, subhanAllah, I realized about all the lectures that I'm going to be giving over the next few days. It's not that many, three, makes it sound like all the lectures. But the three lectures I'm going to be giving over the next three days is very much, brothers and sisters, connected to the heart. Whether it is the way we live our lives, the chaos that all too often seems to surround us in the societies in which we live, or whether it is how we judge ourselves and how we judge each other, and who we love and why we love people, and who we hate and why we hate them. It's all connected to the heart. And something very profound dawned on me, my dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Something very profound dawned on me when I was doing research into the last topic, my last topic, which is on Sunday, on Al-Wala and Al-Bara. A very, very challenging, important lecture. And in preparation for this lecture, mashallah, I actually had one sheikh in England, I don't know if you've heard of him, Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad. They gave him the nickname, mashallah, of the little Uthaymeen. If you know who Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen is, rahimullah, he was one of the students of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. In fact, he was a student of many of the big scholars in Saudi Arabia, as well as having studied in other places. Mashallah, may Allah bless the sheikh. We spent 40 minutes plus talking about this topic of Al-Wala and Al-Bara. And at the end of this, I realized, brothers and sisters, that it is all about the heart. In fact, our deen itself, if you boil it down and if you start thinking about what is this all about? What is Islam all about? What is being a Muslim all about? Yes, of course, it is about knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, that's why we've been created. But this knowing Allah, even this state of knowing Allah, of worshipping Allah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that Allah has told us that He hasn't created the human beings and the jinn except to worship Him. Primarily, this worship is what? It's about the condition of the heart. Because if you're making the movements of a salah and you're going through the outward manifestations of fasting and making hajj and giving charity, but the state of your heart is corrupt, then those deeds will not benefit you. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about a woman, they said, Ya Rasulullah, there is a woman, she prays a lot, And she fasts a lot. And she gives a lot of charity. But she has a wicked tongue and she harms her neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, she is a person of hellfire. She prays a lot, she fasts a lot, she gives a lot of charity, but she has a wicked tongue. She harms her neighbors, she talks bad about people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, she's a person of hellfire. What does that tell us? What is behind this? What is behind this is a person's outward appearance of praying, of fasting, of giving charity. If their heart is not pure, and there is this link between the tongue and the heart. The tongue and the heart are connected. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the enemies of Islam, those people who attack the religion of God. They attack God. They attack His religion. They attack truth itself. Hatred has appeared from their mouths, but what their hearts conceal is even worse. Hatred has appeared. So what is in the heart? The tongue reflects it. So this woman, she's praying and she's fasting and she's giving charity, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she's a person of hellfire. Whereas they asked about another woman, she didn't do a lot of extra prayers, she didn't do a lot of extra fasting, she gave very simple things in charity, but she didn't harm people with her tongue. He said she's a person of paradise. This is to do with the heart, brothers and sisters. It is to do with the heart. And so we need to study this. It's a science. No, we don't need to say it's a science. I don't want to make it complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. Every one of you can understand it. It has to be. This is the purpose of our life. This is the reason Allah has created us. This is the reason He sent us prophets and messengers, so we can purify our hearts. Now let me tell you the nature of the heart, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you about the nature of the heart. There is no such thing as an empty heart. We do have a phrase, of course, empty hearts. It exists. Do you have something like that in Norwegian? Empty hearts, his heart is empty, her heart is empty. You have something like that? How do you say that in Norwegian? Huh? What? Umayyakhta. Sounds like Arabic. Huh? How do you say it? Tumayyakhta. I was practicing some Norwegian today, this morning, you know. But I'll try it out on you later, inshallah. Empty hearts. But actually, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the nature of the heart is it can never be empty. The heart, the nature of the heart is it always has to be full. It has to be full. So the heart is like a vessel, a container. So it holds something. Even here, this cup, is this cup completely full? Huh? It is full. It's this much full of water and it's that full of air. Yeah, okay, you didn't notice the air, but it's still something is in there, right? You know they have a saying, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. It means that vacuums in nature, they don't exist, and that naturally, it doesn't exist naturally. Nature abhors a vacuum. This is the condition of the heart. The heart cannot be empty. It must be full. It is a vessel that has to be full. So when we say an empty heart, what do we mean by that? Because it's not in reality empty. No, the heart is full, and we have to fill the heart with something. This is the reality. The heart, you can even say the mind. The heart and the mind. We constantly need our heart and our mind to be distracted, to be full of something. Now we could give an analogy, a comparison. We could say, and we could think of it, not only is the heart a vessel that needs to be filled, it is also something that needs to be nourished. It needs to be fed. So what we fill the heart with affects the heart. What we fill it with affects it. You heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Yeah? You heard that phrase, yeah? You are what you eat. Okay? Certainly there's no doubt about that. What you eat affects you. And if you keep eating rubbish for long enough, you'll become rubbish. And you'll become so addicted to rubbish, you can't even eat anything else. They did an experiment. Some scientists, they did an experiment with rats. I know we're not rats, but they experiment with rats because they can't experiment with humans. So they did an experiment with rats. And what they did with these rats is they fed these rats a diet of junk foods. All the worst possible foods nutritionally that you could think of. And this is what we do. A lot of us consume empty calories. What is empty calories? An empty calorie, it's something that gives you energy, but there is no nutritional value. In other words, it doesn't actually nutritionally help you. So sugar, for example, refined sugar is an example of empty calories. Most of the soft drinks, the carbonated fizzy drinks, they are nutritionally valueless. They have no nutrition. They are empty calories. White bread, empty calories. Most highly processed foods, empty calories. So they give you energy, but actually they don't contain any vitamins, they don't contain any nutrients, they don't actually help build the cells of your body, because your body is made of cells, right? Your body is made of cells. And these cells are healthy if you feed them healthy things. If you feed them unhealthy things, your cells will be unhealthy, and that's how you get sick. That, and there's another thing that makes, of course, your body sick, and that is toxins. Things that damage your cells, poisons and toxins that damage your cells. So they took these rats and they fed them junk food. The worst type of food. Donuts, sweets, everything, the worst stuff. Coca-Cola, you know, whatever, right? They fed them all this junk. They gave them an exclusive diet. Then, what they did is after some time, I can't remember, 2 months or something, just 2 months, they started trying to feed the rats proper food. Proper rat food, the things that rats normally eat. Stuff that's actually good for them and healthy for them. You know what happened to these rats? They refused to eat the healthy food. They actually died. They preferred to starve to death than actually eat the healthy food. This is how the addiction of eating the junk food had gone so far that they actually preferred to die than eat proper food. It's the same with the heart, brothers and sisters. It's the same with the heart. You see, you can feed your heart. Your heart, there are things that sustains the heart. What gives life to the heart? What gives life to the heart? This is not something that science as yet can tell us. This is something we know from the one who created the heart, the one who created us. And I'm talking here about the heart, the spiritual dimension. What gives life to the heart? What gives life to the heart is the remembrance of Allah. Again, when I say the remembrance of Allah, brothers and sisters, I don't mean Allahu, 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 hu, hu, right? No. I don't mean that. Remember about the woman who fasted and she prayed and she gave charity. Remembering Allah does not just mean just repeating a name of Allah, saying Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, and you don't know what it means. How is this remembering Allah? No, remembering Allah again means that you know Allah. When you think of Allah being Al-Ghafoor, you understand deeply and profoundly the reality that Allah is the most forgiving, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Al-Wadud, He is the loving. And He is also, in reality, the just. And He is the severe in punishment. All of these are attributes of Allah. And you think about them and you understand them in a deep and profound way, not in a superficial way. So what gives life to the heart? And this is something we will see in my talk on Al-Wala and Bara, will give us a very deep insight into this topic. But what gives life to the heart, what gives rest to the heart is, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, is remembering Him. Now every action of obedience to Allah is remembering Allah. Every action of obedience to God is remembering God. Why? Because every action of obedience to God, if it is an action of obedience to God, it needs to have what? Niyyah. Every action is judged by its intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Every action is judged by its intention. An intention is what? It's an action of the heart. Yeah? So intention. So before you do an action, you have to intend to do this purely and sincerely and completely for Allah. Completely. Now think about that. This takes an effort. This takes will. This takes concentration. This means you need to think. You need to look inside your heart. You need to examine yourself. Why am I doing this? What motivates me as a human being? What motivates me, Abdurrahim? Why am I standing on this stage? Why am I giving this lecture? What is the purpose? What is it going to do for me? My heart. Is it because I want fame? I love having my picture taken with lots of people and seeing my, you know, seeing me up on Facebook everywhere. I love the admiration. I love the respect. I get lots of respect, bruv, innit? Right? What motivates me? Because if I'm motivated by those things, this is not right. This is not remembering Allah. This is self-glorification. This will not give rest to your heart. It will not. Not at all. This corrupts the heart. This is the junk food for the soul. Yes, it makes you feel good for a bit. But then how about, brothers and sisters, when you're all on your own? When the internet is down, You can't go through Twitter and Facebook. You're all on your own. Where are your fans? Where are your admirers? No, it's just you. You and yourself. What's going to make you feel good then? You become like the rat. Those rats. You feed yourself junk food. Soon you get to a stage where you can't live without it. It's the same intention. What is your intention? So every good deed, helping your mother, helping your mother. Mashallah, is one of the most important things in Islam, to obey the parents and be kind to your parents. One of the most important things is kindness to the parents and obedience to them. But why do you do it? What motivates you? If you're being nice to your dad because he's going to give you an iPad, right? What is this doing to your heart? What are you filling your heart with? Is this nourishing your heart? Is this remembrance of Allah? No. But when you do the action, or wife, when you do the action for your husband, something that he likes, something that pleases him, something he asks you to do, and you do it, why? Because you want to win his love. It's natural, you want to win his love. You want to win his approval. You want him to admire you even more. So here's the thing, sisters. When you do that because you want your husband's love and admiration and respect, and you want him to admire you, then you're happy to obey him. But how about the day comes when you don't admire him, you're upset with him, you're angry. Maybe he's not giving you the attention that you want. Then what? You disobey him. Then you don't listen to him. Is that right? Is that what a Muslim is supposed to be? No. The same with the husbands. What you do to please your wives. Why do you do what you do? Is it motivated by your love for Allah? Your intention to please Him? Is that why you buy her this and you buy her that? Because this is pleasing to Allah? Or you help her in the house, cleaning the dishes? Or you do that because you want something from her? That's how I get on her good side, I'm going to help her out. Okay, then what? No, brothers and sisters. You see, here's the important thing, niyyah. You see, we watch these movies, well, hopefully you don't watch these movies, but people, they watch these movies and they see this love and the so-called Hollywood and Bollywood love. And they try to build their marriages on these things. But this is junk food for the soul. It's junk food for your hearts. It gives you a buzz for a bit, but it's got no nutritional value. It doesn't help your heart grow. It's not really giving your heart what it needs. What your heart needs is the remembrance of Allah. And how different will you be as a person if you do it for Allah? I remember I was just a couple of weeks ago in a beautiful retreat, when, mashallah, a few thousand people came together in UK, and there were many lectures, and there was an incident in the speaker's lounge where one of the sheikhs was complaining. In fact, the sheikh who had run the retreat was complaining that, okay, what had happened is one of the brothers had taken his laptop, and the brother only did it because he was afraid that someone may come into the room and steal the sheikh's laptop. But the sheikh was complaining, how come you took my laptop? You shouldn't have taken my laptop. You know? And he was talking about how you shouldn't, you know, do this to a Muslim and do that to a Muslim. And the Sheikh, he has a certain way of dealing with people. He was being half serious and half joking at the same time. But because he's very serious, you don't know. It's like, okay, is he joking? Is he serious? So the brothers, you could see, they're like really nervous. He's a very stern Sheikh and these brothers. And it's even worse when they know the hadith of the Prophet and they still go ahead and they do this. And he's saying this. And then one of the brothers turns to the other brother. He says, "Akhi, I told you we should have left his laptop. We should have left it." And then the Sheikh said, "You see, you didn't do it for the sake of Allah. If you did it for the sake of Allah, it wouldn't matter to you. Because you say, alhamdulillah, I did it for Allah." But now he's saying, look, this shows you don't have the ikhlas. And he's joking, but he's serious at the same time. He's giving them tarbiyah at the same time as he's joking. He's telling them, listen, if you have ikhlas, if you really did it for Allah, it wouldn't bother you, because you'd say, I did this to please Allah, not to please the Sheikh. I did it for Allah. So if the Sheikh is angry with me, it doesn't matter, because inshallah Allah will reward me. If my husband doesn't appreciate what I've done, it doesn't matter, because I did it for Allah. If my wife doesn't appreciate the effort I made, it doesn't matter, because I did it for Allah. If my parents don't appreciate and thank, it doesn't matter, because they didn't do it for them, I did it for Allah. How will this feed your soul, brothers and sisters? Can you imagine the heart of this person? Can you imagine the willpower of this person? Can you imagine the strength of the heart of this person who is connected to Allah always? They're not looking for reward from the people. They know their reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this heart is at peace. This heart is at rest. Because whether the people love him or they don't love him, or whether the people turn to her or they don't turn to her, this person, they don't matter. It doesn't matter to them. Their heart is at rest because they did it for Allah. This, my brothers and sisters, that is the food for the soul. That is what gives life to the hearts. The remembrance of Allah. Doing things sincerely for Him. Ikhlas. This is the true food for the soul. So we need to fill our hearts, brothers and sisters, with the remembrance of Allah. And it needs to be something that is deep and profound. And this is how we make this connection. This is through this heart that we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through this heart we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we need to take care of, purifying this heart. Removing from it and keeping away from it the things that harm it. As we said, the same analogy about our bodies. What do we feed our bodies with? We need to feed our heart with beneficial food. We need to feed it with what will benefit it, with what will make it strong, with that which will give it rest and peace. And this is what we find, brothers and sisters, everybody is looking. People have got crazy lives. Their lives are crazy because their hearts are filled with those things that gives it no real value. And really the analogy with junk food is so appropriate. Music, let's talk about music. Some people, they say music, even you find many non-Muslims, even when I was a kafir, if someone had told me music is forbidden, I would have said, you're crazy, man. What are you talking about? I mean, you know what I used to say? We used to have a phrase at school, and my school was a Roman Catholic monastic boarding school. We used to say, music is life. Music is life. That's how we used to think of music. Music as being like life itself. We could not imagine life without music. But music, brothers and music sisters, is junk food. The reason why music is so addictive, just like McDonald's burgers and fries and Coca-Cola, it makes you feel good. When you eat it, it gives you a rush of salt and sugar and that nice fat taste on your mouth. It gives you a rush and you feel boosted. But just as soon as it makes you feel up, you feel down. And what do you need to do? Sure enough, I need some more Coke, I need some more burgers, I need some more fries. You become addicted until you become like those rats. That when something good is given to them, something really nutritious, something that will give them strength. Does music give strength to the heart? No. Music does not give strength to the heart, brothers and sisters. It's like junk food. What does it do? Here is the thing. That music occupies the space. Here's your heart. It fills your heart. It does. It fills it. It gives you the feeling. It gives the appearance of being something that is nutritious. You feel happy for a bit. While you're listening to music, you feel happy. As long as you're plugged into it, you feel happy. But when it's gone, when you're alone, your iPod is broken, right? Then what? So then you realize how empty your heart is. Then you realize how weak your heart is. Then you realize that really empty hearts, that's what it is. Music is just there to fill it. And it's the same with movies. It's the same thing. It's the same with recreational sex. It's just a way to fill the empty heart. A way to fill the empty heart. Let me fill it, because it can't be empty. I need something to distract me. Marijuana, acid, coke, heroin, alcohol, the same thing. What does it all do? It's filling the empty heart. But all of this stuff damages the heart. It's not good for the heart. It doesn't give strength to the heart. It doesn't really bring us true peace and happiness. And when the hearts are like that, that's what we mean, empty hearts. When we talk about empty hearts, they're not empty, because we still have to fill them. But it means really there's nothing worthwhile inside the heart. There's nothing of substance. That's what it means, brothers and sisters. An empty heart means, yes, there's something in it, but what is it? It has no substance. It has no permanence. And that is why you have crazy lives. Because your hearts are empty, your life becomes crazy. That is why we live in societies where a kid can pick up a gun and shoot someone because the person looked at him in the wrong way. He didn't respect me. This is not a joke. He didn't respect me. He looked at me in the wrong way and I shot him. I killed another human being. Because what this whole kid's life is about, respect. What respect do I get? Who respects me? Who doesn't respect me? Empty hearts. You don't find the respect, what will you do? You'll try and get it any way that you can, because you're like the rats, the junk food rats. That's all you know now. I have to find my respect. So how will I get respect? By killing someone. Respect. Look how tough he is. And it's the same, brothers and sisters. There was a time, and I want you to think about this time. In Islamic terminology, we call it jahiliyyah. Ignorance. But jahiliyyah is more than just ignorance. It's like the wild times, the crazy times. And this is how the empty hearts, brothers and sisters, not just killing another kid, not just stabbing another kid in the neck, as I just heard about an incident just the other day in London. Some 16-year-old stabbed another 16-year-old in the neck, just stabbed him. Why? Some cool school kid killing another school kid. About what? What could be so bad that you stick a knife in a person's neck? And you, when you find out, you find it's about respect. He didn't respect me. SubhanAllah. How bad is it going to get? It's going to get worse. And you just need to see what happened in pagan Arabian society. There you have a people immersed in ignorance. The most backward, ignorant, vile people on the face of the earth. The Arabs. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah looked upon the world and its people and hated all of them, except a few of the people of the book, except a few Jews and a few Christians. There was just no one left of any value. And the deepest, the place on the earth in the deepest, darkest ignorance was Arabia. The worst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Almighty, the Creator, He picked the worst place to show us something very important, to give us such a profound and important lesson. However bad you think it is, it's not this bad, brothers and sisters. A man would get respect from taking his daughter, 5-year-old. Wait until she's 5. Don't take her when she's a baby. Wait till she's 5-year-old girls. This is the age, right? And I have my 3 daughters. Well, I have more than 3, but I have 3 daughters at the moment, right? 1 is 3, 1 is 4, and 1 is 5. I call them to myself my little angels. If I want to feel happy, I just think about them. I just put their faces in my mind and I just feel happy. You know, it's just a time when they are so loving, they are so sweet, they are so, subhanAllah, and they are so loving to their father especially. So adoring. So can you imagine now, at that age, a father takes his child. Where are we going, daddy? We're going to have a picnic in the deserts. What he did the night before to get respect is he dug a hole in the sand. He's not taking his daughter for a picnic. He's taking her to bury her alive. And he takes her out, his own daughter, and she's holding his finger with her little hand. He's walking and she's holding his finger. And he takes her to this spot and buries her alive to get respect. And that's the thing, brothers and sisters. You see, when you fill your heart with junk, with music and movies and looking for respect and all the other junk things that we fill our heart with, your heart is never satisfied. Your heart gets hungrier and hungrier. This is the reality. Do you know why people in America are so obese? Why are they so obese? Why are most of us so obese? Because most of the food we eat is junk. And when we eat junk food, it actually takes the nutrients away from our body. And our body is quite simple, it's quite simple. When your body is missing nutrients like vitamins and minerals and micronutrients and electrolytes, things like that, your body sends a signal to your brain, I'm hungry. So what do? You eat more junk. But this junk food actually drains your body. In order to process this food, your body actually is drained of these nutrients and vitamins. Every time you take sugar, it drains your body of vitamins and nutrients because it has no calories, it's empty calories. So in order to process it, your body drains nutrients. So you eat more, but what do you eat? You eat more junk food. You eat more of the junk food. And that drains your body of nutrients more. And your brain says, I'm hungry. And you eat more. Do you understand? You eat more and more and more until you just can't keep up with it. You're eating so much and your body, just as you're eating, your body keeps sending the signal. Eat, 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 eat. It's the same with drugs. The same with drugs. You build up a resistance. You need to take more and more. Respect. I need more and more. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. You never get satisfied because your heart was not designed. It was not built. It's not its nature. It doesn't feed the heart. You have no satisfaction. No satisfaction. And most people, they just keep on doing the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. The same mistake, filling their heart with junk. And that's why it has to get worse. The drugs get harder and harder. The food gets more and more junk food. More and more respect. Whatever it is you're doing, it's not satisfying the heart. And that's how you end up doing what, brothers and sisters? Burying your daughters alive for respect. What's left, brothers and sisters? We look at the societies. Their hearts, empty hearts. And we see what's happening, the result of that around us. Increased promiscuity, increased alcohol addiction, increased drug addiction, increased violence, increase in depression, increase in suicides. It is remarkable, brothers and sisters. It's almost unbelievable. How is it that these societies who are so materialistically advanced have so many resources, have such great material wealth, have really amazing social structures for education, for medicine, for social welfare, yet people are depressed on unprecedented scales? Empty hearts. What is the solution? The solution is, you know, you may think it's difficult. You may think the solution is hard, but it's not. Brothers and sisters, it's not hard. Honestly, subhanAllah, the solution is so simple. It's so simple. The solution is to connect with Allah, to connect with your Creator, to know your Lord. And you're only going to know your Lord with knowledge. The knowledge I'm talking about is simple. Read the Quran. This is a book that Allah has sent down. God has revealed this book so that we can know Him. So that we can know Him. Read the Quran and reflect on it deeply and think about it. Simple. It's very simple. Connect with Allah. The other simple thing is pray. When I say pray, I don't mean just make dua, supplicate. No. Establish the ritual prayer, but not in a ritualistic way. Establish the ritual prayer, a salah, But not in a ritualistic way. Establish the prayer with your heart. Pray, make a salah with your heart. Be attentive with khushu', with reverence, with awe, with hope, with trust. Understanding what you are saying. Understanding what you are saying when you say Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? Allahu Akbar. Just that. Allahu Akbar. Just think about Allahu Akbar. It doesn't mean God is the greatest. It literally means in Arabic, Allah is greater. It's almost an unfinished thought, because if you say Allah, what, you'll think Allah is greater than what? Whatever you can think of, Allah is greater. Subhanallah. Understand what you're saying. When you are praying a salah, make this connection with Allah. That's it. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Read the Quran with understanding, think about it, and establish the salah in your heart with attentiveness. I guarantee you that if you do that, you will find everything else in your life will change. If you can get that habit, and you can make reading the Quran in the language you can understand, and thinking about it deeply, and establishing a salah with understanding, if you can do those simple things, you will see your life will be transformed. Honestly. And you know what? You will not need that junk food for your heart anymore. You know, you won't even feel comfortable listening to music. You won't. Forget about halal, haram. You just won't feel comfortable. Why do I want to be distracted? That music is distracting me. That music is taking me away from what is making my heart feel happy and content and at peace, which is my connection with Allah. You won't even like it. These haram things, will not appeal to you, because you're tasting what is really good for you. You're experiencing your heart now coming alive, your heart being fed with what is good for it, and your heart will grow in strength, and it will feel peace, it will feel sakina, tranquility. So brothers and sisters, the solution for our crazy lives is to remember profoundly and deeply our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what gives life to the hearts. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
No, I am not yet a Muslim. And my question is, why is Allah the only correct thing to fill your heart with?
Why? Did you get that? Just announce your response again.
Why is Allah the only correct thing to fill your heart with?
Why is Allah the only correct thing to fill your heart with? The remembrance of Allah. Thank you very much, my brother.
Okay, that's a very profound question, and the only answer I can really give you is that's the nature that God gave to the heart. Yeah, so it's not something, you see, I suppose understanding this answer I have given goes back to something very important, and it's a whole nother question. And the whole nother question is, how do we know something is true? How do we know Islam is true? I mean, all the talk I have given is based upon the assumption that what the Quran teaches is from God. But I think you probably agree with me, just from the point of view of logic, just from logic, that if there is a God, if the universe has a creator and there is a God, this all-seeing, all-knowing creator of everything, yes? Then if God did give us some guidance, then the most logical and rational thing for a human being to do, a limited, finite, small human being, the most logical thing to do is follow this guidance. But the most important question then is, how do we know this guidance is from God? How can we know that what I am saying or what anyone is saying and is really from God? So for Muslims, they should ask the question, okay Abdurrahim, that's my name, yeah? Okay Abdurrahim, that's a very nice talk, but is this really what Islam is teaching? Yeah? Perhaps for you the more important question is, even if all of what I say sounds nice, how do I even know that Islam is true anyway? Because everything's based upon that presumption. Everything I'm saying is based upon that Islam is true. Although I think some things I have said, they are true whether you believe in Islam or not. Yeah? I think generally what I said about the heart and the junk food for the heart is true whether you believe in Islam or not. I think anyone could understand that many of the things we human beings do, trying to get respect for example, it doesn't really give peace and satisfaction to the heart. Yeah? Okay? So, how can we know that Islam is true? This is a very important question. And I would simply break it down to three main components. Number one, what does the Quran teach about God? This is the first one, okay? Very simply, the Quran teaches us that this universe has a creator, and this creator is one and unique. The creator is not like the creation, and nothing in the creation is similar to the creator. Yeah? So this is a very important concept, that God or the creator is not a human being, he is not like a human being, and no human being is like God. In fact, nothing in the universe is similar to God, and God is not like anything in the universe. This concept alone is a very rational, easy to understand concept. So, for example, if I said to you that this iPad that I've got here, yeah, okay, I was walking along one day, yeah, in the fjords of wherever you go, yeah, and there on the rock I found this iPad, and then I said this iPad was a product of millions and millions of years of random events. You see, in the rock there is some iron and there is some sand and there is some oil. And so the wind blew, and the lightning struck, and the sun shone, and the insects crawled, yeah? And the sheep, kicked the thing, and after all of these things, and the wind blew, yeah? And so after so many millions and millions of years, this iPad formed itself by coincidence. Is this believable? No. Because we see here order. We see something working according to a system. Whether it's man-made or not is not important. The point is that there is order and system in this thing. And the same thing when we look at the universe, we see there is order. We see there is systems in the universe. isn't it rational to conclude that also the universe must have a creator? Just as this iPad, someone or something, some intelligence must have made this. Isn't it logical to conclude that the universe also should have something, some intelligence behind it? Or is it just a random event, just happened? No, the universe is more complex than this. This is simple. This is simple compared to the complexity of the universe. The universe is more complex. Yeah? So this is why there was a famous atheist, his name was Anthony Flew. He used to be an atheist. Before he died, he wrote a book. The book is called There Is No God. Then he crossed out the no. There is a God. And he explained why. He gave up atheism and he believed that there was a God. And the reason is because he said now science has uncovered the huge complexity of the universe. To claim that this is a random event is ridiculous. He said it is much more rational to believe that this organized, systemized universe has a creator. But as he points out in his book, this creator can't be the same as the universe. Because that's like saying the creation created itself. It's like saying, for example, this created itself. That doesn't make sense. So that it's rational to believe the creator must be different from the creation. This is exactly what we find the Quran teaches about God. And I would say that this is almost unique in religions in the world. Although Christianity has a similar concept of God, Christianity confuses this by saying that Jesus is God. He is a man who ate food, he breathed air. He's a limited, finite being. This doesn't make sense. How can something be infinite and finite, created and not created at the same time? It is not rational. So the first thing I would say is that the teaching about God in the Quran is very rational. The second thing I would say is if you look and read the Quran, one of the things that will amaze you is the Quran does not read like a book written 1,400 years ago. And I say this in respect to the descriptions in the Quran of the natural world. Yeah? For example, how would a book 1,400 years old, or how would anyone 1,400 years ago in history know that the mountains have roots? Where, how would someone know this information? That the mountains have roots. In fact, it mentions like, you know, like a tent, you know, the peg of the tent. It describes like roots, like the peg of the tent, meaning it goes down into the earth. From where does this knowledge come from 1,400 years ago? How would a book, 1,000 or anyone living 1,400 years ago, know about the common origin of the universe? You know the common, you know that now pretty much science has agreed that the whole universe was one piece, a singularity, they call it, the singularity, and from this came the Big Bang. Yes? Yet the Quran, 1,400 years ago, the Quran is saying, have not the unbelievers seen that the heavens and the earth were joined together as one piece? Then we rent them asunder, means we made them apart. And we created from water every living thing. Will they not believe? You see, when you read the Quran, you will think, how could someone living 1,400 years ago have this type of knowledge? This gives certainty to the heart. This is very important. Because in order for your heart to find peace, in order to answer these very important questions, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What happens to me when I die? Why is there so much suffering in the world? So many questions we have about our life. We need something to give us certainty. If we don't feel certain, our heart will not be at rest. Or we'll be questioning this and questioning. The Quran gives certainty. You have very good reasons to believe the Quran is from God. Very good reasons to believe the Quran is from God. Find me something else that gives such good convincing reasons to believe it is from God. Yeah? So this is the basis. Do you understand what I'm saying? The basis is there is one God. The basis is the Quran. And that's why I said to you, even you should read the Quran and think about it deeply. Because I think when you do, you will find very good reasons to believe that it is from the Creator alone. Yeah? This is my answer.
Bismillah. My name is Bawa, and I have a question. It is how to take out the love of the junk food from your heart when you love to give it the junk food and you know it's bad. Explain it by logic.
Okay. Thank you for this question. Okay. I gave the answer at the end of my talk. Yeah? The answer is, number one, you need to pick up the Quran in a language you can understand. And you need to read it, not just read it though. Read it and think about it deeply. This is a difference because there is reading, you know, read, like this. And there is reading with thinking. Yeah? A very useful thing, brothers and sisters, is the pen. The pen. Right? The pen. Write. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Allah God in the Quran, He mentioned that He taught men by the pen. Yeah? That which he did not know in Surah Al-Iqra. Alladhi 'allama bil-qalam. He taught alladhi 'allama al-insana. He taught the human beings with the pen. That which they did not know. Ma lam ya'lam, which they did not know. So the pen is very important. Read and write. Take notes. Write your thoughts down. You don't have to show them to anyone. This is between you, yourself and Allah, and your heart and Allah. Maybe if you have some confusion, or you reach something, what does this mean, this Quran? What does this verse mean? Then maybe you can ask a sheikh, or you can ask someone. Please explain this. But this deep thinking about the Quran will begin to connect your heart with Allah in a very, very profound way. The other thing is as-salah. Most of us, we just make the prayer. Allahu Akbar. My business, my car, my wife, my friends, my Allahu Akbar. Now there's a joke here. Yeah? There's this imam. He's leading the people in salah. And then when he makes taslim, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi, assalamu alaikum, there's an argument. Sheikh, you only prayed 3 rak'ah. No, he prayed 4. So the whole jama'ah is just, everyone is arguing. 3, some say 4, for some reason, everyone is arguing. There is one man, he's saying, Wallahi uqsum billah. I swear by God, I know it's only 3. So everyone, I said, okay, how are you so sure? He said, look, I have 4 shops. Every dhuhr, I do the accounts for one of my, in 1 rak'ah, I do the accounts, and I only go to the 3rd shop, that's why I know there's only. Yeah? This is not a salah. If this is your salah, you are not connected with Allah. You're not being connected with Allah. Really, and most of us, many of us, our salah is like this. Okay, let me give you something to help you do this or think this before every salah. Okay? Okay, so what I want you to do now is have an objective. Every salah has an objective. Every time you're going to pray, before you pray, here's what I want to do. This is my objective. Simple. Try to pray two rakah, just two, even if it's dhuhr. So mashallah, in dhuhr you have four rakah to try and pray two rakah. In these two rakah, just two rakah, you must not think of anything except Allah. That's it. Two rakah. So you know, if in the first one you mess up, you know, in your ruku, you start thinking, Allah wills my ask. I missed it. Okay, you still have three rakah. Try to do it. Just two rakah, and you think of nothing except Allah. By the way, if you do this, according to hadith, all your sins are forgiven. It's like you're a baby again. But I don't think you can. It's possible, but it's very, very hard. Actually, I think it's easier to climb Mount Everest than to do this. You see and try it. Every time from now on, when you make your salah, what are you going to do? You're going to try just for two rakah to think of nothing except Allah. Try it. Just take my advice. Two simple things, brothers. Take a pen, take the Quran, take a note. Read the Quran in language you can understand and think about it, sisters. And when you make a salah, just have as your objective, I am now going to try to pray this salah and think of nothing except Allah. That's it. Inshallah, you'll see, if you do this, you'll see a big change in your whole life. Not just in your salah and your whole life. Just try it, inshallah. Okay. Any more questions? MashaAllah, very quiet today, everybody.
Bismillah, tawakkul ala Allah, wa la halu wa la quwwata illa billah. Thank you for the nice speech. I like the speech about the empty hearts and the crazy lives and how it make people actually start to shoot at each other. What I have noticed among some of the Muslim societies is that when they empty their hearts with that sort of junk food, they sometimes attempt to fill it with hatred, especially against each other. And okay. So my question is regarding that you said that it's important to fill your heart with love towards Allah. I've seen Muslims who actually promote hate towards each other, towards other Muslim minorities. And I've even seen that they promote killing of Muslims they don't agree with. And lately in Belgium, for a couple of months ago, it was some Salafis who attacked a Shiite mosque, burning the mosque, killing the imam in the mosque, saying that they come to heaven having dinner with the Prophet. So I wonder, what is your opinion about Muslim promoting hate toward each other? Thank you.
I'm going to, sister, thank you for your question. It is a very, very, very important question. But inshallah, I will deal with this topic the whole of my lecture on Sunday. Al-Wala and Al-Bara is on this topic. So my whole lecture will be on this topic. So I don't want to preempt the lecture by answering your question here, inshallah. It's a very good question, but this topic I will deal with on Sunday, inshallah, when it's I give my speech on Al-Wala and Al-Bara. You are correct, by the way, what the sister has said. And unfortunately, this is, you know, this has some truth to it, that some people, you know, they fill their heart with hatred. They fill their heart with hatred. And as we will discuss on Sunday, actually hatred, some degree of hatred is a normal and a normal, natural reaction of the human being. It's normal. Love is natural, hate is natural. It's something the heart cannot avoid. It's designed like that. And it's designed like that by God for very good reasons, which we will talk about, inshallah, on Sunday. But this is the topic it links. You see, well, how we behave, how we react is all linked to this state of the heart. So there are many extremes, you see. You will find some people, you know, they fill their heart with love, which is very beautiful. Okay, but unfortunately also, if you only fill your heart with love, you will not protect yourself from things that will harm you and that will harm your heart. This is why, although I don't like the word hate there, the word hate perhaps is very strong, but you have to have the condition of your heart that you turn away from things and you repel things. So your heart should be attracted to some things and repelled from other things. Anyway, this is the topic of Al-Wala and Al-Bara. I don't want to go into it, and we'll discuss it on Sunday, inshallah. But thanks for the question. Make sure you come to the lecture on Sunday, inshallah. If I'm alive still, if someone doesn't kill me, doesn't like me, inshallah. You never know. Subhanallah, you never know. Okay, anything else? No, it's very quiet in Norway today. You're all tired, it's been a long day, yeah? No more questions? Going?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I got a question here from a non-Muslim sister, and she's asking, it is this song where the Norwegians sing, and it's about a peace on love and companionship. So she's asking, how can you call this song, which is about love and peace, a junk food?
I can't understand, sister. Really, the echo is really bad.
The question is again, how can you call a music and a song which is about love and
It's a song, about the song which is about love, yes?
Yeah, and peace.
And peace.
Junk food.
Okay. That's a very good... I'm very glad someone asked that question. Because I'm sure this is a question even in people's minds. How about a song that is full of remembering Allah? Yeah? Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. I can't sing, as you can find out, yeah? So, okay. Okay, the problem, okay, this... I'm gonna try and make the answer not too long. Because, okay. The problem is the medium. The problem with music, it's not about the words. It's about the fact that it's music. It's the medium itself. The problem, okay. What gives strength to the heart? Let's go back and examine this. What gives strength to the heart? And I'm talking about the mechanism here, the actual mechanics. How does it work? What gives strength to the heart and what is important is the effort.
It's the effort. Yeah? Okay? It's like building your muscles. It's like getting fit and like getting strong. There is no shortcut. If you want to get fit, you need to run, you need to ride your bike, you need to put on your skis, you need to go swimming. There's no shortcut. If you want to build your muscles, you need to pump the iron. Even if you inject steroids, you still need to lift the weights, right? All the steroids do is allow your body to recover more quickly so you can pump more weights, right? You still need to do the work. The same for your heart. You need to do the work. Your heart does not get strong and healthy, spiritually strong and healthy, except by doing the work. And it's this process of working very hard, striving, struggling, which is in fact the term jihad does not mean holy war. It means to struggle. To struggle to the utmost of your ability. Jihad bil nafs, to struggle with your desires. It really is a struggle, an effort. But it is this effort itself that produces the results. Right? So the effort is very, very important. You have to make the effort. Without the effort, you don't get the results. The problem with music, whatever the lyrics and whatever the theme, whether it's about love or Allah or whatever, the problem with music is there is no effort. You are just sitting and listening. There is no effort. So it gives the feeling, it simulates and gives the feeling of happiness, but it doesn't involve efforts. And if there is no effort, it's not really making the heart strong. It is not really building a strong, clean, pure heart. Do you understand? Right? So it doesn't matter what the words, okay, if the words are filthy words or bad words or words of hate and violence, it's much worse. It's much, much worse. But here it's a question of degree, because the problem is the medium itself. It's a passive medium. It's a passive medium. It's not, you are not active in this medium. All right? Unless, of course, you are singing and making the music yourself, may be different. But I'm just talking about here in terms of just sitting and listening to the music. Okay? This is anyway something that can be studied through psychology. Even this is something that is known to in terms of psychology. Optimal experience, which is something that produces happiness in the human being, is a product of or a consequence of working hard to achieve a specific objective that is not too hard and not too difficult. But you're always pushing yourself on the edge of what is possible. Right? So as long as you can do it and you can achieve it and it's not too difficult and you're pushing yourself, when you achieve it, you feel an amazing sense of satisfaction. This is what is giving life to the heart. Music is not like, it doesn't produce that. It's just passive. Yeah? So it is like an artificial drug, for example. So you could say the same thing. We could say this about marijuana, but oh, what if I'm smoking marijuana and I'm thinking deeply about Allah? Yeah, there are some people who claim this, for example. No. Again, this is, you're missing the point. That what gives life to the heart and what makes the heart strong is the heart making the effort. With this, the drug is giving an artificial substitution. It's just like the junk food. It's just like the junk food. Yeah? Okay? So that hopefully that answers the question. It's a very good question. Thank you for that question. Okay, the last question. Okay. Yeah, my microphone does that as well sometimes. I think you noticed. Wa alaikum assalam.
My question is,
I didn't know that. What happened on Norway that day? On this day? Okay. Yes. 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 Yes, that's a very nice question. Let me answer this important question by giving a different analogy on a different topic, for example. Okay, let's talk about alcohol. Someone may say, scientists have proven that a glass of red wine a day actually makes you more healthy. What is wrong with that? If we just have one glass of red wine a day, it will make you more healthy, it will prolong your life, it is full of antioxidants, it has health benefits. How can you say alcohol is bad? How can you condemn alcohol when we can prove that it has this benefit? I would say the same thing, you know, the same thing you could say, look, this song has done this and that, how can you say music is bad when, okay. But you see, there is a principle. A principle in, actually, if all human beings applied this principle, it would be amazing. But this is a principle in that the Quran teaches that God gives us to lead our life. The Quran actually says, in alcohol, there is some benefit. There you go. The Quran says, in alcohol, there is some benefit. But there is also much harm. And the harm is much more than the benefits. So here is a rule we have. Because there is benefit, so I'm not denying, sister, that there may be some benefit in music. There may be some therapeutic benefit. There may be the benefit that you said, maybe. But in general, when you assess the whole topic, and you look at music in general and the effect it has on the heart in general, right? Then the effect is, as I said, the same with alcohol in general. And then the principle is you don't do something that has a small benefit when in general the benefit is, when in general the harm is so much. Yeah? And the reason is simple. Because this unfortunately is opening the door. Here's the door. If I have one glass of red wine a day, okay, one day if I have two, what's the harm? Or three, or if, okay, I just get drunk once a year at Christmas, what's the harm? Or maybe twice a year, or maybe now three times a year. Do you understand? It is better just to say, no, we cut this all together, and we don't do it, because the benefit is there, but it's not enough. It's not enough. In fact, the harm of alcohol is too much. It's actually one of the things that confuses me about Western society that has prohibited cigarette smoking, more or less, not prohibited it, but made it, you know, so difficult to smoke, and drugs. And how is it that alcohol is still consumed and allowed to be consumed? It's a poison. It's responsible for so much death, so much suffering, so many problems. It is astronomical. I wish I had the statistics of how many deaths, how many accidents, how many billions of pounds is wasted because of people and their alcohol problems. There may be some benefit, but it's not worth it. The same thing, maybe this song had a lot of benefit, maybe, but in general, when you understand the state of the heart, no, we can't open the doors to all of these things. Because then if this song, then that song, and why not this song, and then why not every song, and then why not this is how it becomes. No, we have to understand, right? I was reading a book about, just to give you an analogy, I was reading a book about junk food, to go back to the junk food analogy. And I think it's called Fast Food Nation. There's two books, and I think this one is called Fast Food Nation. If you read it, I don't think you'll ever eat McDonald's again after reading this book, right? They ask nutritionists in America, the guy, he asks some nutritionists, he asks about five or six of them, how much junk food do you recommend is, you know, tolerable, you know, is safe? Some people said once a year. Some said twice a year. Another one said never, never, don't ever, ever eat it, right? So here's the point, is that okay, you know, once a year, but you know what's the nature. So the best thing to do is just to leave it, okay? So that's my answer, inshallah, to that very excellent question. Thank you very much. And I think also, brothers and sisters, really, the effects of people really purifying their hearts, filling their hearts with goodness, filling their hearts with the remembrance, the true remembrance of God, will be better than any amount of singing and, you know, those type of things. Okay, because the cure of the sickness that we are suffering in the world is something very deep and very profound, and I do not believe it can be solved with songs and movies. Okay, I don't think so. I might be wrong, but I don't think so, and God knows best. May God bless all of you, and may God guide all of us closer to the truth. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.